2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Our united service today is to mark the 44th anniversary of the formal partnership between St Andrew's and St Peter's. And with several websites dedicated to making suggestions for 44th anniversary celebrations, I thought I'd relay some of their advice. Apparently, in some countries, it's associated with topaz, in others, with turquoise. The more modern gift suggested is gourmet food. Unfortunately, I only found that out on Thursday, so too late to arrange that, unless you count the custard creams afterwards. Although I hope you're impressed with the recommendation for a mixed bouquet of previous anniversary flowers, which I've managed to negotiate at great expense. You might say our church's relationship isn't quite like a regular marriage. Unlike the majority of formal local ecumenical partnerships, we don't share a building and our regular main service is separate. Maybe that makes us more like what's sometimes called living apart together, getting married while continuing to live in two separate houses, which, according to the press, is increasingly popular among the rich and famous. Or maybe you'd say we're like long-standing next-door neighbours. I heard the story of a Scotsman who'd recently moved to a flat in London, whose mother asked on the telephone how he was. "It's all right," he replied, "but the woman next door keeps screaming and crying all night, and the guy on the other side keeps banging his head on the wall." "Never you mind," said his mum. "Don't let them get you, just ignore them." "Oh, I do that," he says. "I just keep playing my bagpipes." However you describe our partnership, 44 years is something to mark and to celebrate. And the verses that we're looking at this morning were all about one important aspect of what it means to be in partnership with other Christians and other churches, that of prayer for each other. They're from the beginning of Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, which, among other things, deals on several occasions with another aspect of partnership between different churches and Christians, that of supporting one another financially. As you may know, chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians are very much go-to passages on the subjects of generosity and of giving. But Paul doesn't begin with that aspect of what a partnership might mean. He speaks rather of the need for prayer, or more specifically, of the need for the church in Corinth, among others, to be praying for him and those who were working in his apostolic band, who were experiencing extremely difficult times. Paul's difficulties have already been prominent in verses 3 to 7 of chapter 1. And he spells out the depth of suffering he's experiencing in verse 8. "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." We often hear how stress may be increasing in the 21st century, and I guess in many ways it is. But what most of us regard as stress is as nothing compared to the situation that Paul and his companions were in. The kind of affliction, presumably through persecution, that made them often wonder how long it would be before it would lead to their martyrdom. And that awareness, unsurprisingly, led Paul to depend on God in a very deep way. Verse 9, "Indeed, we felt that we'd received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Three preachers sat discussing, of all things, the best positions for prayer, while a telephone repairman worked nearby. "Kneeling is definitely the best," claimed one of them. "No," another contended, "I get the best results standing with my hands outstretched to heaven." You're both wrong, the third insisted. The most effective prayer position is lying prostrate, face down on the ground. The repairman could contain himself no longer. Fellas, he interrupted, the best praying I ever did was when I was in deep trouble hanging upside down from a telephone pole. Paul speaks here in verse 9 about how his adverse circumstances had led him to a deep reliance on the Lord. And having experienced God's remarkable intervention to prevent the worst from happening in times past, Paul was convinced that, assuming God wanted them to stay alive, he was able to protect and deliver them in the future. Verse 10, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we've set our hope that he will deliver us again. And Paul knew that rather than just to take God's protection for granted, it was right to pray for it. Actually, Paul doesn't speak directly of his own prayer for protection and deliverance, though it's hard to see that that wasn't happening too. Now, his focus here is rather on asking other believers to join in that prayer. And so he writes with some urging to the church in Corinth, verse 11, you also must help us in prayer. It's important, of course, to pray for our own church's life and witness. I'd reckon that should form a significant part of our prayers, both when we're together and as individual church members praying on our own. For Jesus' instructions were to begin with the prayer, thy kingdom come. And the work of the kingdom that we will as likely know as much about as anything is that which is taking place through our own local church that we're a part of. But we can and should express our partnership with other Christians and other congregations and other ministries by praying for their needs and their concerns as well. It's good to pray for God's work in other parts of the world. In quite a few cases, that may mean praying for God's protection and deliverance in the face of persecution every bit as intense as that which was experienced in New Testament times. In other cases, praying for the church in other parts of the world will mean the opportunity for standing alongside churches as they seek to make the most of the extraordinary opportunities for growth and development and for mission that some are experiencing. It's good to pray for God's work nearer to hand as well. I hope you'll consider joining the Churches Together Prayer Cafe on Wednesday evening, which, as I said, is this time in St. Andrew's Parish Room. Been called a prayer cafe rather than a prayer meeting because there's also time to chat with people from other churches over coffee and cake. We might make a point of praying for other churches too in our own denomination, in the circuit or the deanery that we're part of. And then an important part of our partnership here in the Westlands can and should be praying for one another's churches. In our own prayers at home, and in the prayer that's part of our public worship. When you get the notice sheet, instead of just ignoring notices that aren't for your congregation or don't relate to you, why not pray for the activities and the concerns that are spelt out there? There are other dimensions to our partnership, of course. A huge amount of working together in mission, quite a bit of worship together too. But with our partnership anniversary just about coinciding with the National Prayer Initiative under the banner Thy Kingdom Come, which takes place formally from Thursday, Ascension Day, to Pentecost in a fortnight's time, well, I thought maybe that was a good opportunity to focus on the way our two congregations can and should be partners in prayer for one another. People sometimes wonder, why don't we pray more? I'm aware that for most of us that question arises not just in connection with the kind of prayer emphasis I'm focusing specifically on this morning, but on the broader poverty of our prayer lives as individuals and our prayer lives as churches together. Maybe the problem is that we don't always really believe in prayer. Well, in some ways we don't believe in it. The tale's told of a small town that had historically been dry, but then a local businessman decided to build a pub. A group of Christians who were very against that kind of thing from a local church were concerned, and they planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. Just so happened that shortly afterwards, lightning struck the bar and it was burned to the ground. The owner sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. But the church hired a lawyer to argue in court that it wasn't down to them at all. The presiding judge, after his initial review of the evidence, stated, "Well, no matter how the case comes out, one thing is clear. The pub owner believes in prayer, and the Christians don't." An encouragement to follow up what we say we believe about prayer by praying and seeking to grow in our prayer lives. We pick up from these couple of verses Paul's convictions of the importance of truly praying, truly depending on God, is buttressed by his reference to the way in which the affliction he's experiencing makes us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Through the resurrection, God has proved his ability to act in our world in the most dramatic way when he chooses to do so. We don't generally know if the specific intervention we're praying for is God's will, but if it is, there can be no doubt that he is able to help. He is able to do what we ask. The importance of prayer. Sometimes we say, "All I can do is pray," as if prayer is kind of a concession. It's been pointed out, though, when we speak that way, it undermines the fact that prayer is the single most powerful thing you can do for another person. Prayer is never the least we can do. It's always the most. Of course, it's possible to say, "I'll pray for you," when really what we should be doing is acting in some way as well. But I'd reckon if we really follow up on our promise to pray, it probably won't be long before we realize that, and God prompts us to do what we should as well. The importance of prayer. You'll see on the notice sheet a number of website links to the National Prayer Initiative, Thy Kingdom Come. If you're not computer literate, don't worry about that. The important thing is just to pray. That's something that's always important, but maybe particularly you can join in with that national prayer focus beginning on Thursday for the 10 days until Pentecost. And let's make sure that as part of a partnership, we're expressing that partnership in our prayer too, for one another and for our church congregations, that both separately and together, we might fulfill God's calling to serve him and to be his witnesses in this place of the Westlands where he's called us to be. Val Smith is going to lead us in our prayers.